Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're going to discuss mental health and suicide prevention with the Minneapolis VA and meet the team behind the state of Minnesota's Strategic Outreach Program. My co-host today is Jason Burley. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Sean Mankey.
More than 13,000 men and women serve in the Minnesota National Guard, but of that number, only about 2,000 serve full-time, leaving the remaining 11,000 in need of civilian employers. We'd like to recognize all the great companies who employ our soldiers and airmen. Your support, sacrifice, and accommodation to our National Guard mission and training schedules has not gone unnoticed. Employer support allows our service members to remain focused on our important missions without worrying about how they will support themselves when they return home. On behalf of the Minnesota National Guard, I want to thank all of our military employers for their support, especially those who participate in our Beyond the Yellow Ribbon initiative.
Thank you, General Mankey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. As I said at the opening, we're going to talk about mental health and suicide prevention with the Minneapolis VA. And joining me now is Andrea Sandberg, who is an RN, Community Engagement and Partnerships Coordinator, and Eric Wittenberg, who is the Suicide Prevention Coordinator from the Minneapolis VA Medical Center. Andrea and Eric, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Good day, Tom. Thank you. And Jason, hello.
Andrea, I want to start with you first. I understand you're an RN, and how long have you been working out at the VA?
Yes, sir. So I've been at the VA about 10 years now already, and fairly new to suicide prevention, but I've been working in mental health and suicide prevention since November. So really happy to be part of their team. They do some great work.
I understand you worked in the pain clinic and also served as an inpatient acute rehabilitation in the spinal cord injury and disorder unit. Those are a couple of pretty heavy areas out at the VA.
Yeah, yep. It was a pleasure and honor to serve in both of those capacities and really love rehab nursing and being able to our veterans and be able to help and make a difference in their lives, hopefully.
Well, I'm sure you have. And Eric, welcome back to the show. It's been a couple of years since you've been on. You are the suicide prevention coordinator, and as I recall, you served in the Army.
Yep, I was active duty way back in 2008 to 2012 with a tour in Afghanistan. And once I got out, I just naturally knew that I wanted to continue in the military culture and got back into the VA pretty quick.
And Eric, one of the things that we want to talk about today, both mental health and suicide prevention, but suicide prevention seems like it's been a huge issue for veterans for a long time.
Yeah, so going back all the way to about 2005 when they started collecting data and stats, the number has continued. And still die by suicide. That number has gone unchanged for a few years. So we're really, really hoping that we can start to see that decrease and hopefully get that down 25% by 2028, which is kind of the VA's ultimate plan.
And Andrea, I want to get into mental health and those issues in this segment. And I know that there are a lot of things that that you can help with, everything from stress to sleep disorder, pain management that you've got a lot of experience in. What are some of the areas where you can help with mental health issues that might lead to something much worse?
Yeah, so I think when we talk about suicide and suicide prevention, it really is an all-encompassing, very complex job. So we want to be able to help our veterans individually, interpersonally, in their communities, and in society at large. So really what's wonderful about the VA is we have that National Suicide Prevention Program. And then here in Minnesota at the state level, we have the Minnesota Governor's Challenge that I, as a community engagement partnership coordinator in suicide prevention, work as a part of really closely with, you know, Minnesota Department of Health and many other intrastate agencies to help reduce suicide in veterans and service members in Minnesota. And then at the community level, we're doing a lot of outreach. So obviously with COVID, our work was really limited, and we are just getting right back out into the community as much as we can. We're establishing community coalitions for suicide prevention. So we have them all over Minnesota, and we have the Together with Veterans, kind of a rural veteran-to-veteran coalition building group And then, like I said, we do outreach and education. So we're trying to reach our veterans outside of the VA in their own communities and at home.
We're speaking with Andrea Sandberg and Eric Wittenberg from the Minneapolis VA Medical Center on Minnesota Military Radio. Eric, in my area of era, Vietnam veterans, there were veterans and military service members that were reluctant to ask for help if they had some mental health issues or any thoughts of a suicide, because they thought it might prevent their continuation in the military, and just kind of reluctant to talk about it. Are you still fighting that today, or are there still some veterans and service members that try to keep it to themselves?
Yes, absolutely. So oftentimes we will have a commander or a first sergeant bring in somebody who's either active duty or National Guard. They come through our ED, and that's really their last stop, right? They don't want to have that on the record. They don't want that stigma. So unfortunately, that still is the case. The VA, you know, we have to keep everybody safe. So oftentimes we just can't keep that information a secret. But we do have avenues to work with the leadership and provide, you know, some short-term therapy to hopefully improve them and get them back to a baseline stability so they can continue with the military and their career without having that check on their record. Exactly.
Eric, this is Jason. And, you know, when you think about those contributing factors to suicide, many of us go quickly to trauma, but there's a litany of other contributing factors. How do you address those, and how do you help people understand that there's more things happening for veterans and military service members than just a traumatic event?
Yeah, interesting you bring that up, because finally the VA has really done a study on veterans who die by suicide who have never been federally activated or gone overseas or been deployed. And out of the 6,500 per year, that's about 500 veterans. So you hit the nail on the head with that one. A lot of it has to do with relationship issues, right? Emotions, family structure. Maybe they get some bad news. And then, as we know, when veterans kind of get out of the military and try to get back into society, often that doesn't go well. So they're dealing with frustrations with their boss. They have legal troubles. And so I'm going to the way that only those veterans thinking about dying by suicide. As we know, there's so many other than it.
Andrea, I want to come to you. I understand the rate of veteran suicide is almost twice as high as the civilian population. I think there's some obvious things we think of that might cause that, like serving in a combat zone and things related to your military service. But are there other reasons that we're not aware of that might contribute to that high rate?
Yeah, and I think Eric can probably help me out with this, but I would say that, like he touched on, I think strained relationships, distance away from family. So whether or not an individual is federally activated or deployed, right, they're still spending a lot of time away from family and friends and their comfort zone, maybe being in training and being in active duty or being at work, being at, you know, guard and reserve units and being away for the weekends. So really that kind of distance from your support system. I think the stigma that has been talked a little bit about today as well, right? There's stigma with mental health issues, asking for help and help-seeking behaviors hasn't historically been hugely fostered or boosted by military culture, right? Sometimes there's that misunderstanding that asking for help is a sign of weakness. And so I think they struggle with that stigma as well. Eric, if you had anything to add.
Yeah, I mean, just quickly, final thoughts. You know, life is tough in my 45 years that I've been around. It doesn't really get easier. So I think just the pressure of life responsibilities, having to go through day by day, is a struggle for a lot of people.
All right, Andrea and Eric, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about mental health and suicide prevention on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. My co-host today is Jason Burley. We've been talking to Andrea Sandberg, who's an RN, a Community Engagement and Partnerships Coordinator at the Minneapolis VA, and Eric Wittenberg, who's a Suicide Prevention Coordinator from the Minneapolis VA. And Eric, one of the things that you and I have talked about in the past that I think is critically important is for our listeners to observe their veterans at home, at work, doing the things that they always do, and look for changes. Look for maybe a change in their daily routine. Look for maybe an increased alcohol use. Look for maybe they're withdrawing or being depressed. What can you watch for, and what are the typical signs that say, maybe we got a problem coming here?
Question. So the things physically that you can look for is somebody withdrawing, right? Maybe sleeping more, maybe heading downstairs to avoid the family, calling in more sick days from work. Like you said, increasing alcohol as a way to cope, or maybe taking more medications than they should. Things that they might say or express is just kind of that general, you know, don't have a hope for the future. Making comments of, you know, sometimes I wish I could just, you know, go to sleep and disappear, or the world is better without me. So any of those kind of negative thoughts or thoughts that the world is better without them, you want to keep aware of. And, you know, the people that know the veteran most are the friends and family. So if something doesn't sound right, we want to catch it as soon as we can and try to get that veteran talking about what's bothering them.
And, Andrea, I want to come to you on that one. To ask somebody if they're depressed or ask them if they're thinking about suicide is a difficult conversation, and a lot of people don't want to have, but there's even a more terrible outcome if they don't talk to them and then they show up one day and their veteran committed suicide. How do you have that conversation, and how can you encourage our listeners to talk to their veteran and open up that discussion?
Yeah, so I think what we always encourage people to do is, you know, pay attention to your gut. Like Eric said, family and friends and maybe even coworkers, close acquaintances know us the best. And so if you're noticing something is wrong with a friend or a coworker, asking them, hey, what's going on with you? You know, I've been noticing that you've been calling in, you know, sick to work more often. I haven't seen you as much. Or I know you're going through a divorce right now. That's a hard time for a lot of people. Are you doing okay? How are you feeling? So really just opening the conversation from one human being to another, trying to express that you care. A lot of us have gone through difficult experiences in our own lives, and so we kind of know maybe how an approach might be more well received. And if it gets to be, you know, that a person can open up and tell you some hard feelings and mentioning some of the things like Eric said, I don't want to be around, whatever it might be, that's cueing you in that this could be a crisis or acute, that they could be thinking of suicide. You want to ask that question directly. Are you thinking of suicide? Are you thinking of taking your own life? You want to be very direct. And even though that's uncomfortable, it's very powerful. And we find that oftentimes individuals who are struggling with those thoughts want people to ask them and want to have that conversation to be able to, you know, release those feelings and get that out in the open.
And the Veterans Crisis Line is 1-800-273-TALK, 1-800-273-8255. And Eric, is that open to family members? Can they call and say, I think my veteran's having a problem, how do I talk to him? Or is it just open to veterans, or both?
No, I'm glad you bring that up, because that's my favorite part of the VCL, is friends and family can call, even if they're not in the same state as the veteran. If they have a conversation and they call the veteran back and they don't answer, you know, mom, dad, friend can say, hey, I got a buddy in Texas who just doesn't sound right. And from there, the VCL can kind of take a look, try to contact with them, and then they can initiate a welfare check all the way across the country as well. So super helpful for family and friends, and we often get a lot of calls that way from a third-party caller.
And the VCL is an acronym that stands for the Veterans Crisis Line. Once again, that's 1-800-273-TALK. Andrea, I want to come to you. Once we've determined that the veteran needs some help, if we get them to the VA, can you help them?
Yeah, you bet. Yeah, so we have a lot of different resources here in Minnesota. We have, of course, two medical centers, Minneapolis and in St. Cloud. We have emergency departments, and then also mental health walk-in clinics. And then from the emergency department or mental health walk-in clinic, of course, we're going to connect them to resources so that we can have some long-term follow-up, connect them to suicide prevention case management if that is the correct route, or their primary care provider, really make sure that we're kind of addressing all and any health issues that they present with. We have 14 clinics within Minnesota, and then in Wisconsin, we have multiple medical centers, three of them, 19 clinics, and then there's also veteran centers, which are more community-based counseling centers. So those are also available for veterans who might not want to come into the VA hospital to seek counseling assistance.
We're speaking with Andrea Sandberg and Eric Wittenberg from the Minneapolis VA Medical Center on Minnesota Military Radio. Eric, I want to come to you. I think you've got some statistics, and can you explain what anchors of hope are to me?
Yes, yeah, so very glad Andrea presented that information, right? So what we're finding out is 20 veterans by day die by suicide. Out of those 20, only 6 are getting VA care. And what we found out after they ran the statistics, for the first time since 2005, we're seeing a slight decrease in rates across certain populations. So the anchors of hope refer to we're finally making some progress against suicide. So between 2017 and 2018, we know that those veterans who were receiving VA care decreased the rate of suicide versus those that weren't. Those that had a diagnosis of depression, anxiety, and substance abuse, if they were seen in the VA, their rates of suicide decreased as well. And then finally, overall, in 2018, that was the smallest increase that we've seen in suicide since 2005. So the main point of that is if veterans can come in and get care, specifically with the VA, we are finally seeing a decrease in suicide rates among those veterans.
Andrea and Eric, we just got a couple of minutes left, but Andrea, I want to ask you, my paperwork here says we still have 20 veterans per day that continue to die by suicide. You know, I'm a Vietnam veteran. In my view, that's way too high. And in my era veteran, as they retire from work, they're starting to have some flashbacks to some memories from Vietnam that are causing some issues. What can we do to really slow this down? What else can we do?
Yeah, so I think community work is really important. So connecting our veterans and service members and their families, first of all, to the resources that they're entitled to, right, that they've earned. So many people, many veterans don't even know they have community service veteran officers that are available. And so even such resources like financial resources, housing resources, assistance with education, higher education, child care, there's so many different things that veterans are entitled to that they should be taking advantage of that can help ease some burden. And then really when we just want to also identify our veterans and service members, where are they in our communities? Do we know who they are? You know, as employers, are we giving them special opportunities? And then connecting them also to one another, right? Having rapport and connection with another veteran or another service member or their family can make a big difference in someone's life.
So, Eric, from what I heard from Andrea there is if there are symptoms, if there are some things that are causing a veteran to be uncomfortable, a financial crisis, a health crisis, something else, and to prevent them from just giving up, sometimes it might be as simple as get them to the county veteran service offices, find some financial resources of some kind, or maybe just get them to the VA hospital and get them in to talk and go through some of the things that are causing them to be upset.
Yeah, bottom line is we all can act as a gatekeeper, right? We know a veteran who's struggling. We don't have to solve, you know, their long-term problems. We just have to get them in the door to get some help with people that know how to do it. And we push that all the time, right? Suicide prevention is everyone's business. So as we keep saying, as long as you know a veteran who's having a difficult time, there are so many things out there to help them. And that's the bottom line is they're not alone. Connecting with other veterans is such a key part of that. They can share stories and then share their successes as they get through life.
So today's message is that help is available. Call the Veterans Crisis Line at 1-800-273-TALK. Talk to your county veteran service officer. Just call the VA Medical Center and ask for help. We're out of time. Eric and Andrea, I want to thank you for joining us again on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
Yep, thanks, Tom.
It was Andrea Sandberg and Eric Wittenberg from the Minneapolis VA healthcare system. In a moment, we're going to come back and we're going to meet the team behind the state of Minnesota's strategic outreach program. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to meet the team behind the state of Minnesota's strategic outreach program. And on this show today, my co-host is Jason Burley. But before we get to that, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Herkey.
Have you served honorably? Are you a Minnesota resident? And are you interested in higher education? If you answered yes to these questions, you may be eligible for education benefits in Minnesota. The Minnesota GI Bill program provides post-secondary educational assistance to eligible Minnesota veterans, non-veterans who have served in the military, and eligible spouses and children. The purpose of this bill is to get Minnesota veterans back to work. The plan starts with education, and the first step is finding the financial assistance available to get them there. For full eligibility requirements, visit MinnesotaVeteran.org.
Thank you, Commissioner Herkey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is Annette Kuiper, Director of Military Outreach for the Minnesota Department of Military Affairs. Annette, welcome back to the studio. We haven't had you in the studio for a while.
Yes, it's great to be back, Tom. Thanks.
It's been a little over a year, I think, since you've been in here, and I know you've got some guests today, and you've been busy. You formed something called the Strategic Outreach Team. And I'm interested in knowing how does that affect the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program and all the other things that you do.
Well, Tom, our Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program has really matured over the years, and we have a national partner that is, has been with us for quite a few years, building healthy military communities. So we've been really working on combining all the efforts between the Yellow Ribbon Community Program, the Yellow Ribbon Company Program, and building healthy military communities. So we've recently formed the Strategic Outreach Team that is going to help us really align all of the lines of effort of those three entities within the state.
And Annette, we get to listen for the rest of this segment because my co-host Jason Burley is going to meet and talk to your guests and determine what this team is all about. Would you like to introduce the ladies?
Yes, I'd be very happy to introduce. Well, first of all, our Building Healthy Military Community State Coordinator, Tiffany Kovaleski, is with us today and is going to tell us a little bit more about her program. And then our State Yellow Ribbon Regional Outreach Coordinator, Rachel Johnson, is with us and is going to tell us about the community program.
Ladies, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's wonderful to have you today. This is really an exciting program. I've been a longtime fan of the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Network, and to learn more about what we have going on with the Minnesota Strategic Outreach Team. Rachel, maybe I'll start with you. What really does this team do, and what does it mean?
Oh, I'm so excited for this question because it's such a brand new team. Currently, we're really building up this team on coming together, looking at our state, local, and national resources and how can we come together. So from the community perspective, it's bringing more resources to those people at the local level and to be able to really work together with a strong team of people behind us to be able to help them do their mission on supporting our service members and our veterans and their families within our communities.
So, Tiffany, you've had this Building Healthy Military Communities role and participating with Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, but what does this development of this outreach team mean for your organization and then the broader organization as a whole?
For me personally, within Building Healthy Military Communities, or you might have heard of it being called as BHMC, this really helps leverage the opportunities as one person within a state. So to be part of a strategic outreach team, collectively, we're all able to hit different platforms at that local level, at different local levels, state levels, and definitely a national level. So for me, within Building Healthy Military Communities, it's in six different states right now. We're phasing into three additional states, and I'm able to showcase the best practices and lessons learned that we have with this grassroots effort with Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, because no other state in the country has BTYR or Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and they're able to see all of the wonderful things that we can do collectively together.
Yeah, it's an incredible resource, and we're certainly fortunate to have the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. When you think about how we've operated previously, and Rachel, I'll turn to you, What's going to be different now with the strategic outreach team? How is it going to be different? How am I going to feel that differently as a service member in Minnesota?
You might not see a whole lot of difference besides in the fact that we're bringing more initiatives out that are being really focused to our service members and like what are their needs and how can we help support that, whether they're on a deployment, state active duty, or living within their community. And so one of those initiatives is Meals from the Heart, to be able to provide food boxes to those to help stretch their food budget. That's an initiative that's coming from both BHMC, Building Healthy Military Communities, and Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. And we wouldn't have been
been able to do it without this partnership, along with Meals from the Heart, which is also the corporation that we're working with, the nonprofit out of Stillwater. So that's just one initiative that we're working on. And then there's others that will be coming out in the coming months following year as we start to grow this out and like really look at what are some of the other needs that we can work on together.
We're speaking with Tiffany Kowaleski, Rachel Johnson, and Annette Kuiper regarding the Minnesota Strategic Outreach Team. Tiffany, if I go to you, when you think of BHMC previously and now as a member of this outreach team, when you think of the lines of effort of BHMC, how are they enhanced by the partnership with the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon?
They're enhanced by having that leadership buy-in and approval. For the Adjutant General to say yes, that he approves of the strategic outreach team and giving us the ability to have leadership at different opportunities, whether it's luncheons, functions, conferences, you name it, where we can bring that. And while we work at the community, state, and national level, we also need that within our leadership too, across all branches of military. So while Annette and Rachel might work specifically under the National Guard, and this is something the strategic outreach team is through the National Guard, BHMC is working across all branches of service. So we have every branch, including the Coast Guard, even here in the state of Minnesota. So we really want to make sure that we are being able to offer it to all leaders and that it's trickling across all the way to our soldier family readiness specialists, to our, I mean, there are so many different acronyms and different programs out there, and it's able to have this effect of really canvassing across the entire state.
Right, Rachel, what your primary responsibilities for the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon are the community networks. How large is the community network now? How many are there? And what are some of the new things and initiatives that are happening in the community networks?
Yeah, so right now we have 79 networks throughout the state of Minnesota, that with the majority of them being down here in the metro area, but we do have a great number in the greater areas as well that we work with. The biggest change that we did over the last year is regionalize the state into 10 specific regions so we could really start hardwiring in those key stakeholders within each of those regions. So with our community networks, our soldier and family readiness specialists, and our county veteran service officers. As we start to grow that, we're going to start bringing in more partners at the state and national level too, to help support them and provide assistance to all of our service members that live within our communities. Those are probably the biggest vaccine things that you'll see. What most people see on the other side of it is just getting the name out there more and getting them connected to the resources that are available within their communities.
Have we had additional communities join recently?
Yep. So great question. Northern Dakota County is going to be proclaimed on August 12th. They're going to be our next one. And then Worthington is going to be proclaimed on September 18th. So we're super excited to have them come into our mix of networks. They're both very strong networks. So excited to see what they can do, and both at very different ends of the state.
It's great to see more communities continue to be involved. Annette, we've had a great response from our, you know, employers across the state. Any new members in the network from the employer standpoint?
Yes, we have several companies that are working on their action plan. We're really excited about that. M Fairview Health and Medica, as well as Donaldson, will be joining our Yellow Ribbon Company networks by the end of the year. So we're really excited to have them join. And one of the company initiatives is really to connect them to these community efforts. And now, as employment needs are rising, really work with the companies on matching them with veterans and service members and military spouses.
Yeah, as a Yellow Ribbon Network company, I'm always curious about how we can work more closely with the communities. And it feels like this strategic outreach team has an ability to maybe bring us closer together.
Absolutely. We'll be auditing and checking in with our companies now post-COVID, and that's definitely one of the things we're going to be doing, is inviting them to these community regional meetings, making sure that they're connected to their local network. That'll be a top priority in the next couple months here.
We have to take a short break. We'll be right back with more on the Minnesota Strategic Outreach Team and its initiatives. This is the Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. Welcome back to the Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your guest host, Jason Burley, and we're talking today with Annette Kuiper, Director of Military Outreach, Rachel Johnson, Yellow Ribbon Regional Outreach Coordinator, and Tiffany Kowaleski, Building Healthy Military Communities State Coordinator. Ladies, welcome back.
Thank you.
I had the privilege to see the sketch of the strategic plan, and I know that you each have significant initiatives. Can you tell me a little bit about the lines of effort of the Yellow Ribbon Company effort, Annette?
Yeah, Jason, each of us are working our lines of effort and then coordinating them within the strategic outreach team. On the company side of things, our companies who become Beyond the Yellow Ribbon companies are working really on three things we ask of them. The first is recruiting, hiring, and retaining. And this is service members, veterans, and military spouses. So we ask our Yellow Ribbon companies to have great initiatives for recruiting, hiring, and retaining. The second one is military-connected employee support. How do they connect? How do they really support military-connected employees within the organization? And lastly, military-connected community support and really connecting in with our community networks as well as resources that are in the areas that the organizations serve. So those three areas are what our Yellow Ribbon companies all work for and have to meet those criteria within the state.
And so, Rachel, you have the same, but around the Yellow Ribbon communities.
Yep. So we have a couple of initiatives that are lines of efforts that we work on with financial support. So having each of our networks either having the capacity to assist with financial support when needed or to be able to be connected to somebody in the community that could support that effort. We also are looking at toolkits to build within that, whether it's getting connected with LSS for their financial literacy programming and stuff like that. Second, we do our household property. And that's looking at lawn maintenance, snow removal, et cetera, within the community. So when someone's deployed or a veteran that might need to be in service of that, how can we get them connected at that community level? Thirdly, we're looking at the physical and behavioral health. So we partner with the VA with their suicide prevention coalitions throughout the state. And we try to get all of our community networks involved with them at that local level so they can get those resources out to those that may be in need through a crisis. And fourthly is our community partnerships and relationships, our resources, in regards to what do we have available besides that military focus, but also at a civilian focus as well, because we know that they don't just serve in the military. They're also part of their community. So what other resources are available that they may need to be in connection with?
So those two sets of efforts are probably been fairly well aligned over time underneath the network. But Tiffany, tell us a little bit about the lines of effort that you're focusing on and how do they complement the other lines of effort within the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon?
Yeah, I think that they complement each other really well. Building Healthy Military Communities conducted something called a Rapid Needs Assessment, where we interviewed over 100 key partners across the entire state, both military, veteran, and civilian key partners, to come up with three different lines of effort. And those three lines of effort that were chosen in Minnesota and all Building Healthy Military Community states is also revolved around the total force fitness model. So we're looking at the service member and their families' mind, body, and spirit health, so total health. So the first line of effort is revolved around physical, spiritual, and behavioral health. And that is aimed at many, many things. But we're looking at partnerships with the National Park Service, working with the Chaplains Unit with spiritual health and spiritual wellness. The list goes on. And then the second line of effort is childcare. We are a family-oriented state here, and I am a proud mother myself. And I must say that childcare is a social economic crisis, no matter what. And when you put retention rates in there, and we're trying to figure out if soldiers can stay in, airmen I'm sorry, I didn't want to say soldiers, service members. When you're trying to have retention, we want to make sure that our childcare is taken care of. Nights and weekends are even harder. So affordable, credible, and reliable resources is what we're always looking for. Partnering with American Red Cross and their babysitting certification classes is something that's taking place right now. Partnering with Beyond the Yellow Ribbon to house those rosters for our military youth. And then the third line of effort is awareness of resources. So one thing that we have here in the state is a plethora of really amazing resources, but it's sometimes hard to navigate, especially if you're in crisis. So trying to make sure that we connect everyone with the least amount of connecting, and getting them directly to those resources is ideal.
It's a big network. There is a lot of resources across the state of Minnesota. This organization and your organizations collectively have done a great job of keeping those together. Now under one umbrella, that should really make a difference to making it easy for service members to find those resources. If there's one thing that you wanted listeners to know before we left, what would it be about the Yellow Ribbon, the strategic outreach team, or each of your initiatives that you want to make sure our service members hear?
Well, I think my biggest thing would be is just to reach out to us, any of us, because we can make sure that we can get them in contact with the people that they need to, whether it's us widely or within our Soldier Family Readiness Group or along with our County Veteran Service Officers.
I'd like to say that I'm surprised we're out of time, but we're out of time. I can't thank you enough for joining us. Once again, today we had Annette Kuiper, the Director of Military Outreach, Rachel Johnson, Yellow Ribbon Regional Outreach Coordinator, and Tiffany Kovalensky, Building Healthy Military Community State Coordinator. Ladies, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Joining me now is the Senior Enlisted Leader to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Sergeant Major Brian Soper. Sergeant Major, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hey, Tom. Thanks for having me.
Sergeant Major, I understand you're traveling again. Frequent flyer.
Yeah, we're working on it. Post-COVID or with the relaxation of the COVID policy, we're getting out and getting after the business for the state of Minnesota. So currently down at Columbus, Georgia, which is the home of Fort Benning, and we're myself, the Division Sergeant Major Whitehead, and our J3 Sergeant Major Ross. We're all down here at the Warrior Training Center yesterday, and then we had a great tour today with our LNOs regarding our soldiers coming down here for basic training and AIT at both the infantry and armor schools.
So how's the Warrior Training Center look, Sergeant Major?
It's just an incredible facility that they have down here. They do a lot of ranger prep for majority of the Guard soldiers that go to the ranger school, and they help us with both our Bradley and Abrams gunner's course, so our master gunner's course, along with other things. But it's just a phenomenal facility, a phenomenal group of guardsmen down there that get our soldiers prepared to excel at the courses they attend.
Hey, Sergeant Major, Army training never stops, but boy, a tough time to be down at Fort Benning, Georgia. What's the temperature like down there, and how do you keep those folks motivated to stay hydrated and those types of things?
You know, it's not so much the temperature, Jason, as it is the humidity. It's about, yeah, 90% humidity right now. It's kind of the weather you wear. So it's definitely a challenge. You know, the great thing is the cadre that we have down, either at the basic training or, AIT, advanced individual training, or at the Warrior Training Center, they're very well-equipped regarding the procedures they need to do to avoid heat casualties. And we have, medic 68 Whiskeys that are down here. They do immersion dumps with their arms and things like that, and they just make sure they stay hydrated throughout the day. So they're very cognizant of it. They don't want to have any injuries due to the heat, but they just keep pushing through on the training.
Sergeant Major, that brings me to another topic we talk about quite often, the best soldier competition. Did that happen in Croatia recently?
It did, Tom. We had Sergeant Ellingson represent the Minnesota National Guard in an international competition that had soldiers from 10 different countries, and to include Croatia, and then we had 73 competitors overall. So Sergeant Ellingson went over there and he did a great job. He didn't win, but it was home court advantage. The Croatians took first, second, and third.
Well, speaking of that, Sergeant Major, did you participate in a ruck march at Camp Ripley?
Yes, I did. The Warrant Officers Candidate Course, they asked if, for senior leadership to come up there and be a part of it. So I was privileged to go out there, and I didn't ruck. I didn't actually have a rucksack on my back, but I walked with the Warrant Officer Candidates as they did their 10-kilometer ruck march this last Saturday. And good news, every single one of them completed it within the allotted time, so it was great. They got a couple more months left, and they'll all graduate and, move on to become warrant officers within our formation.
Sergeant Major, I think I understand that. When I was in the Air Force, we didn't have any ruck marches, so that's why you call it the country club, I guess.
So they had a 45-pound backpack on their shoulders that they had to complete the event with within 106 minutes, give or take.
We'll send Jason out and see if he can do that. Sergeant Major, we just about got a minute or so left. I understand that you went to an event about cyber protection and the cyber protection team.
Absolutely. Myself, General Mankey, and General Wickman, along with a couple others, flew out to Fort Meade, Maryland, which is part of the National Capital Region in Washington, D.C. So we had the opportunity to go out and see our cyber protection team of 35 soldiers that are currently mobilized supporting Cybercom and our, defense of the, DOD infrastructure regarding anything on the network. So it was just a overall great experience. Our soldiers out there bringing a lot of the skill set that they have in the civilian sector to that mission, and it's just a great opportunity for them to do some different things as well.
Sergeant Major, we're out of time. I'd like to thank you for joining us again today.
You bet. Thank you, Tom, and thanks, Jason.
That was the Senior Enlisted Advisor to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Sergeant Major Brian Soper. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Andrea Sandberg and Eric Wittenberg from the Minneapolis VA, Tiffany Kovaleski, Rachel Johnson, and Annette Kuiper, Command Sergeant Major Brian Soper, my co-host Jason Burley, Commissioner Larry Herkey of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Sean Mankey. Please join us next week as we talk about the Minnesota National Guard's 148th Fighter Wing and hear how one veteran is helping others transition into civilian jobs on the market. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.